Hello, everybody. Good afternoon on this Sunday afternoon. Well, let me tell you, we have the craziest weather. It's 77 today, and it's getting down to 30 tonight, and they are calling for a storm. So our lights went off about 20 minutes ago. So if we lose you, then you know why. We have the craziest, Ryan Hall, y'all. I was watching him earlier, and he was saying this is going to be the craziest outbreak of tornadoes and everything. So y'all do too in Brandon, Mississippi, huh? Well, I tell you, you just can't make up the days and times that we are in, huh? I hope y'all liked our new intro. It's just something I threw together real quick. But anyway, we had a very good time this week in Memphis. And I'm going to go ahead and start off and tell you guys some of my notes that I took from Memphis. And I'm not going to get into the newsy side of it, you know, with Elon and the Colossus and all that stuff that we went to, but I will talk to you about the ministry side of it. We was able to go to minister to the homeless people throughout the downtown area of Memphis, and we gave out water to random people that we saw that were homeless on the side of the road. That was really awesome. And I thank the Lord for that, being able to bless them. And we thank all of you guys for partnering with us and helping us to be able to bless Memphis while we was there. And then we went to this homeless park because I researched. I got up early. Was it Thursday morning? And research like all the different data centers and stuff. So that was my Thursday mission. But my Friday mission was for the homeless, you know, for us to go minister to the homeless. So I found out that there was a park where they actually stay. So we went to the park. It was awesome. Now, because I have ministered to the homeless for years, I know that they're really leery of people that have cameras, so that's why I don't have video footage of the actual walk. I tried to take you with me, but it didn't work. But they just need their dignity type of deal. But I do want to tell you a few stories. First, I want to tell you that in the spirit over Memphis is very dark. It's very, very heavy. The whole atmosphere is just very heavy and dark, very like an oppressive, which I, you know, assume that that is because of Elon Musk and the darkness that's moved in town there. But you can feel it in the atmosphere. And because Memphis used to be an area of very lively music and soulful jazz, you know, and now it's like a barren city. It's dry as a bone, you know, in the spirit. It's just a hard, dry place. But I was riding down the road and I saw a woman sitting on her porch, and I asked her, I said, ma'am, can I come out there and talk to you? And she's like, yeah. So I got out and I started talking to her and ended up leading them to the Lord. And we prayed together. And she was telling me that she's been in Memphis her whole life. And they didn't know anything about what was happening with Elon or Colossus or anything like that. She was very thankful for the water. You know, they accepted the water and stuff. And I told him, I said, look, I don't have much to offer you people, but I do have a hug. I can give you that mama loving. And they all took the hug. They all took the loving and stuff. Let me silence my phone. And so I was very thankful to be able to stop and minister to this family. And then when we went to the park, okay, I was reading my notes. When we went to the park, I met several people at the park. And in this situation here, this man, I won't tell you which one, but he was so sad. And he was telling us that, you know, his wife had left him and with the child, and they lived over in the east side of Nashville and going towards Knoxville. And he was saying that he just kept going west and he ended up in Memphis. And how sad his heart was about being stuck there. And he had a job, but he keeps getting sick, and he had surgery, you know, to get, what was that called? I wrote it down. Gallbladder removed. And, you know, so he was showing us his scars. So he was saying that, you know, he has to take off work for a little bit to heal from that and everything. But just to see the, you know, the hurt, and I told these guys, you know, that I don't have the solution to your problem, but I have Jesus. You know, I have loving that I can give you. I can pray for you. I can acknowledge what you're going through. I can give you water. You know, and that's all they want. They just want love so much. So they said the sinner's prayer. They prayed with me, and the Lord dealt with them about some personal things in their lives, which God used to use me in that way a lot back in my 20s when I was doing street ministry. And, like, say I would go, God would tell me, you know, go to somebody's house and, pray for them. And then he would reveal, you know, what it is that person, whatever it was that held them back from him, you know, God would reveal and whatnot. So I was able to really minister with them, and I'm very thankful for it. And I'm thankful for having Dennis there with me. And he was blessed to be able to lay hands on these people and give them water and come in agreement with me and everything. And when I prayed for this man, I prayed for restoration in his life with his family, his wife, his children, you know, and that he would begin to hear God and everything. And the other gentleman told me that he just felt very hard in his heart. You know, and I prayed with him that God would soften his heart and everything. And then she needed healing, so we prayed for healing for her. What's funny is they kept telling me how beautiful I was and told me I looked like Dolly Parton. It was funny. It was too funny. They wanted many hugs. I gave out lots of hugs at the park. Now, there's a... not this guy, but these other two guys right here. Okay, do you see this guy right here to the left? He has such an amazing, yes, drive on spiritually in the city, that's for sure. He was shot in the face in that community there twice and lived. And, you know, so it was beautiful praying with both of them. They both said the sinner's prayer as well. I just believe that God is going to touch all these people, and they wanted lots of hugs too. you know, and some of them cried on my shoulder. I told y'all how God does that, and some of them did. And it's just, they just need a touch and some love, you know. And I think the reason, because Heather, I don't know if she's watching, but she goes, "What's up with that guy's belt around his neck?" And I said, "Probably because he had alcohol in his back pocket." She goes, "Yeah, he'll probably whip somebody." But anyway, but they were all very nice. You know, we gave, we prayed for some more people, and they gave, Dennis gave out lots of water, and we gave out a lot of, you know, water randomly to people as we was just driving down the road. But I will tell you guys this, that my soul is so happy to be able to love on these people and to give back to them. So I told you when we had to go to Memphis to get my car, I told you guys, I said, we need to go and we need to look at what's going on in Memphis. We need to minister to them people. Oh, let me tell you what else. These guys right here, they wanted me to sing for them. And I sang for all them people at the park. Just like that morning I woke up and I had it in my heart. I wanted to sing like Amazing Grace and, you know, different songs. And I did. I got out there and sang. And, you know, it just, the Lord is just so good. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be able to have done. I thank you guys for sending us. I really do. Now, there's other people that want to meet me in Memphis and go back and do it as a group. So if anybody wants to meet me in Memphis, I now know where we can go. And we can just go love on people, hand out water and food. And, you know, if we want to make this an event where we can meet up there, that would be all right. But anyway, so I'm very happy for them. And I just want to say, I'm going to bring Dennis here up on with us. Hey, Pastor.
Hello.
Hey, I would like for you to tell them what you thought about us ministering there.
Like you said, there was it was a, you know, good time, you know, and it was, everybody was very, except, you know, what's the word I want to use? Accepted us, you know, and they were willing to talk with us, and, you know, they accepted our water and prayers. They just, I mean, they really wanted prayers, and so it was all really good, you know, that what we did. And it would be nice to maybe go back down there again and meet some other people down there. And, you know, and then on the way back, you know, the one guy who, we talked to the longest, you know, the one that, where was he from? I can't remember, New Jersey or somewhere.
Manchester.
East. Yeah. And yeah. Then, you know, just headed west, you know, he lost his wife and kids and everything, you know, and, you know, we thought about, wow, you know, it'd be nice to bring him here, just say, hey, come here for a week, you know, or two. And, but we was already on the road heading back. And so, but you know, those thoughts come into our mind, you know, we just really want to help people. And, you know, it was a fun time. So, and especially like June also said, Memphis was very a heavy spirit. I mean, it was real depressing down there. Just, you could sense that, you know, that depressing spirit or darkness. And, you know, there was wasn't that many people on the streets like what we thought we would see, you know, just driving through downtown. And, you know, and then dare I say it, all the spraying in the skies that they did too, you know, the whole weekend, the skies were just full. And so that's why we got Psalm 91, you know, that we're protected from the pestilence, you know, and so be praying that over your land, you know, your homes, yourself, you know, because I mean, it was a heavy bombardment. I mean, as far as we got, the eye could see, you know, as we traveled, and you know, we're talking 2.5-3 hours, you know, from down there, and then went north, and then back here, and it was terrible. So,
yeah, it is terrible.
It was that was depressing, you know, and. And when I travel like this, you know, I communicate with one of my sisters and one of my brothers. One lives in Iowa, the other one lives in Missouri, and we always share information about, you know, the spraying, you might say, the chemtrails, and they both were getting heavy sprayed also. My sister sent me some pictures, and you know, just like here, and like I just sent June a picture. My sister just sent me a video. Here they are, you know, beautiful weather one day, and now they're getting heavy snowstorms in Iowa right now. And she sent me a short video of that snow and, you know, in her backyard. So, crazy times.
Yeah.
So.
Well, how did you feel handing the water out to random people?
Well, it was all right. You know, they all accepted it. And,
yeah.
You know, we give out, I don't know, a case of water or so, come back with some. So we put that away. We'll take with us next time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they accepted the water very freely, you know. And so I think there was a couple people that turned it down, but I don't think they were homeless. They were just in the park. You know, there was other people in the park, you know, with their kids, you know, swinging and just, you know, in the park, whatever. They had kids swing there and stuff like that. And, you know, we offered some water to them too, but they turned it down. And I think
now there's one man that moved from, or was homeless from Manchester, the east side of Tennessee.
Right.
He said that he does not want to go back because there's no resources there, you know, and in Memphis, at least he gets fed and he can go to the homeless shelter and, you know, they have more resources. So that's why there's obviously a lot more people in cities, you know, in big cities is because they can survive better. They think anyway.
Yeah. Well, he was like in a small community town, you know, where they don't have the resources like a big city, you know, the different things.
And yeah.
So, and, you know, it was a sad story that he had. That's for sure.
It was.
You know, he didn't want to go back. And when you said that, it's like, yeah, he didn't want to go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right, Pastor. Well, we're going to go ahead and move on with worship, and then we'll get started with the service, because I want you to get the word in before the storm gets any worse out here. Now, Bride, let me get this up on the screen. Pat, we're teaching right now in Psalm 91, and right now we're on part 3 of Psalm 91. Let me get this up on the screen. Hold on, where'd it go? Here we go. Okay. We are on part 3 of the Psalm 91 series, and the scriptures that he's focusing on today has to do with our angelic protection. Remember, we have been learning through the March series on Psalm 91. We have been learning the protection of God, and we really need to know this because of the days that we are in. So today we're focusing on the angelic protection of God. So one of the songs that I want to sing is more like a Christmas song, but it's a very true song. And it's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Okay, so if y'all would, let's go ahead and pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word today, Lord. And we pray that as we sing, hold on here. We pray that as we sing, Lord, that you would get the glory today. And we worship and praise your most holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here we go. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. Let me go in here. What a farce. God and sinners reconciled. Hold on here. Sorry, guys. I thought the lyrics were up. Here we go. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations sing. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. It's very important to know that God has sent us angels to help us. Amen. Because we are not alone. Now, y'all know I've got some stories about angels. Raise your hand in the chat room if you've heard any of my stories about angels. Surely somebody remembers. You remember the angel that stopped that woman from punching me in the face is one. And then what's another one? The lady I interviewed where my cousin, where the angels blocked that child in a head-on collision. I mean, angels are real, you know. Okay, so let's sing this one, How Great Thou Art. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, isn't he wonderful, bride? How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. All right. Well, that's all we're going to sing of this one. And let's go ahead and open it up for Pastor to start preaching. Now, at the end of this today, we are going to open this up for prayer, you know, and hopefully we don't have any storm, you know, bothering us or anything. So let's get Pastor on here. All right, sir. Well, you've got the floor.
Okay. Thank you much and for your songs.
You're very welcome.
I guess we'll just get right into it. Lord, we just thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you that your word says that your word is spirit. And so we thank you that your word will touch our hearts and our minds and our whole being, Lord, and draw us closer to you and to build our faith and trust in you alone, Lord, and not man or any of the ways of this. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to, I guess there's a Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12. And but first, what I wanted to do, I remember last week I told you I was going to share with you guys something about this little book. Okay. And on the back of it, and I want to read something on the back and then something on the front page. This. And this is a testimony. And this book was written in 2000. Let me see, where is it here? 2001. Okay. The Ultimate Shield for Enduring Protection. And it says, a story coming out of World War I indicates that the 91st Infantry Brigade of the U.S. Expeditionary Army was preparing to enter combat in Europe. Most of the men were green soldiers who had never seen combat. Its commander, a devout Christian, called an assembly of his men where he gave each a little card which was printed the 91st Psalm. They agreed to recite the soldier psalm daily. The 91st Brigade was engaged in three of the bloodiest battles in World War I, Chateau Thierry, Bellewood, and Argonne, while other American units similarly engaged at up to 90% casualties. The 91st Brigade did not suffer a single combat-related casualty. Wow, huh? And then I'm going to turn to the inside, there's another, it says dedication. The 91st Psalm has been known throughout the ages as a psalm of protection. In 1990, with that in mind, this book was dedicated to Scott, who served as a Marine in Operation Desert Shield / Desert Storm, and was called Psalm 91, the Ultimate Shield. During that conflict, we received, they received numerous letters from soldiers. Some who wrote us during the Scud missile attacks, who were finding great comfort and strength from that book. So they sent this book over there. Countless others found and put their trust in Christ. Praise the Lord, huh? On September 11, 2001, when America was struck by terrorist attack on civilian targets, we knew it was time to reintroduce this book. If we are going to have endurance, we're going to need enduring protection from God on high. We dedicate this book to the men and women in the cause of freedom everywhere. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, Galatians 5:1. Okay? And when I turn the page on this, what it has the, and I'll show it to you. I don't know if my light, it says table of contents, all right? And first it's the overview, Psalm 91, then who the promise was made, your confession, all right? Verse 2, then the promise of deliverance, verse 3, the promise of protection, verse 4, the promise of courage, verses 4 through 6, the promise of safety, verse 7 and 8, the promise of security, verses 9 and 10, the promises of help, 11 and 12, which we will do today, the promise of victory, verse 13, the promise of honor, verses 14 and 15, and the promise of life, verse 16. And so they have each verse, okay, like verse 1, the promise, to whom the promise was made, and he that dwells. And so they have that verse, and then what they did is they put several other verses, you know, in the Bible that relate to that verse, okay? And then at the end of that, you know, that scripture, then it has references. So it has a bunch of other references throughout the Bible that relate to that one scripture. Ain't that cool? So it's a really neat little book. And I've had it. In fact, when I found this book, here's a prayer card that was in it. All right. And it was from a dear friend of mine. Her name was Nancy, and she's now with the Lord. She was one of my spiritual mentors, you might say, when I first got saved in this church where I first start going. And she says, Denny, God bless Nancy. And it's from 9102. So that's really special for me. Amen. Next, let's go ahead, and I'm going to, once again, I'm going to read from this book, and it's very short. She's only got a couple of pages, and when I was reading this, I got on some rabbit trails, and so we're going to get in some other scriptures beside Psalm 91, all right? And let's just go ahead and read these first two, these verses that we're going to, verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up on their hands, lest thou dash a foot against a stone. And here's what she says. She says, in verses 11 and 12, God makes another unique promise concerning an additional dimension of our protection. This is one of the most precious promises of God. And he put it right here in Psalm 91. In fact, this is one of the promises Satan used to test Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. And so, to get on that rabbit trail, let's turn to the Matthew 4. Because many of us have, you know, go through temptations, and sometimes daily, do we not? And I thought this was interesting, you know, the three temptations of Jesus. You know, and what does he always say? Three, you know, he always says, He answers back to Satan, "It is written." Okay. So he fires back to Satan his word, you know. And so to me, that's very powerful because it tells us that we use God's word, you know, to, you know, deter the devil or whatever, however you want to say it, but to combat temptation. So that's why it's so important to get the word, you know, more word, more power. And I guess I'm not going to read these three for time's sake, but what I did do is here, you know, well, I guess I should read this, but in verse 4, he, you know, when the tempter came to him and he, "If thou be the Son of Man, command these stones be made bread." And Jesus answers, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." So it's the word. Amen. And then in Deuteronomy, you know, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and it's a long verse, but I'm just going to read the bottom part of it. It says, "Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." So praise God, Old Testament, New Testament. And then let's go down here to where the devil takes him, I guess verse 5, takes him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. That's the highest point. And said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." So here's the devil throwing God's word at Jesus. "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." And what does Jesus say? "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So, you know, he's using, there it is, you know, temptation, okay? And in Deuteronomy 6:16, it says, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Manasseh." So there is Old Testament, you know, that you can't tempt the Lord. Amen. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then Deuteronomy 6:13, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God to serve him." You know, I'm trying to find that. So, you know, instead of, you know, fearing the devil and all these temptations, we need to fear the Lord and serve him. Okay. In Hebrews, let's turn to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Verse 15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So this states that Jesus respect as we are, yet remain without sin. Allowing him, you know, without sin, you know, allowing him what? He sympathizes with humans' weaknesses. You know, he's our helper. Because it says, therefore come boldly, verse 16, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah, Lord. So we just thank you right now that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, and that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Amen. And let's turn. I want to turn back to a couple of pages to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. And okay, yeah, here it is. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So there it is again. You know, that word, if I'm pronouncing it, succor, means help. You know, so he is, you know, he is able to help us when we're tempted. So, you know, we have to, and there's just, you know, the list is a mile long of all the different types of temptations, you know, that we need. So we need, really need his help, do we not? And in 1 John, let's turn to 1 John. Going back here to 1 John. I hope you guys don't mind me getting a little rabbit trail besides Psalm 91. But in 1 John, verse 2. I mean, chapter 2, excuse me. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. You know, when I was researching these scriptures a little bit, you know, they say that some theologians suggest that this verse summarizes the three core temptations as the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then if you would, we're not going to turn there, but if you want to, you know, write this scripture down, 1 Peter 1, verses 23 through 25, it talks more about that. And it's about the new birth. Well, let's go ahead and just turn there quick. Make sure I didn't want to. First Peter. Oops. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23 and 25. And this is about the new birth, you know, incorruptible, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass withered, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Woo! Hallelujah. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. Amen. So it's God's word. You know, that's what we got to stand on. Amen. You know, I'm going to read on from her book here. Most Christians read past the promise with very little, if any, thought about the magnitude of what is being said. Only after we get to heaven will we realize all the things from which we were spared because of the intervention of God's angels on our behalf. And I had to write in here, praise the Lord. And, you know, and each of us, I think, I know I can remember several different times, and this was before I was born again or whatever, to where I was in a serious accident. In fact, three of them, if not more, you know, on my motorcycle. I put a lot of miles on my motorcycle traveling across the country, and to where I come out of these accidents, flying over a car, flying over another motorcycle, and come up standing, adrenaline, heart pounding like crazy. And I'm like, wow. And when I look back at that, that was back in the 80s and 90s, you know, the Lord had to have his hand on me, you know. And it's my testimony. I believe that the Lord saved me from great harm's ways. So praise the Lord, huh? And then she goes on, I am sure you have read stories about missionaries whose lives were spared because would-be murderers saw large bodyguards protecting them, when in fact there was no one there in the natural. We can all recall close calls where we escaped a tragedy and there was no explanation in the natural. It is possible to entertain angels without knowing it, as it says in Hebrews 13:2. Let's turn to Hebrews. Oops, I'm going the wrong way here. Hebrews, okay. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 12. Whoops, excuse me, 13, 2. Remember them. Whoops, let's go. Okay, let brotherly love continue. Verse 1. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And in my Bible, where the word entertain, it says receive. You know, there's a little footnote. Receive strangers without realizing it. You know, angels unaware without realizing. You know, we could be a regular old person, but it could be an angel. You know, we need to, you know, be not forgetful. As it says here, that, you know, God has his angels out there that can watch over us and whatever. And this Hebrews 13, the whole chapter is about service, well-pleasing to God. And so, you know, how we, you know, carry ourselves serving the Lord. It's a very powerful chapter. All right, let's read on here. But sadly, I believe most Christians have the tendency to disregard the ministry of angels altogether. Wow, ain't that sad? And so she's writing another testimony here that I would like to read. It says, Floyd Bowers, a friend of ours who worked in the mines in Clovis, New Mexico, had the responsibility of setting off the explosives. One particular day, he was ready to push the switch when someone tapped him on the shoulder. To his surprise, no no one was anywhere around. Deciding that it must have been his imagination, he prepared once again to detonate the explosive when he felt another tap on the shoulder. Again, no one was there. So he decided to move all the ignition equipment several feet back up the tunnel. When he finally plunged the charger, the whole top of the tunnel caved in exactly where he had been standing. A coincidence? You could never make our friend believe that. He knew someone had tapped him on the shoulder. Wow. You know, Psalm 91 says, "For he will give his angels charge over thee." Or in some translation, it says, charge concerning you. What does that mean? Think with me a moment. Have you ever taken charge of a situation? When you take charge of something, you put yourself in a place of leadership. You begin telling everyone what to do and how to do it. If angels are taking charge of things that concern us, God has given the angels not the circumstances, but the authority to act on our behalf. That same truth is repeated in Hebrews. Hebrews 1. So let's go back to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 14. And this Hebrews 1, verses 5 through 14 is talking about the Son is superior to angels. But in verse 14, it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Heirs of salvation. Wow. Let's turn to, put that note over there. Romans 8. Let's go back to Romans 8. Romans 8, 14, verses 14 and 15. And this Romans chapter 8 is so awesome. But let's go, I was going to go to verses 14 through 17. "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." I'm going to stop there, but man, read all of chapter 8 is so awesome. And then the latter part of chapter 8 is about more than conquerors, you know, through Christ. Amen. And then she has another testimony in here about those who inherit salvation, but I'm going to skip by that and move on here. And the next page, she says, let me see here once. I got a bunch of different notes on my own things that I was studying. Make sure I didn't pass any up. Okay. So she says here, "When we look to God as the source of our protection and provision The angels are constantly rendering us aid and taking charge of our affairs. Psalm 103:20 says, His angels, mighty in strength, obey the voice of His word. Now, I want to turn to that psalm because it is powerful. Let me think here. There we go. Psalm 103. Verse 20. I want to read that again. And Psalm 103 is about thanksgiving for God's mercy, okay? And verse 20 says, Bless the Lord, all ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now, when I was reading this, and just pondering about it, you know, and what came up to me, that do his commandments. And I was thinking, well, the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But in Matthew 6:10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, his will, his commandments just kind of come to me. Now I'm going to read the last two verses in this Psalm 103. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts. Ye are ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all he his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And what does it say here? Let's go back up here to verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto his voice, unto the voice of his word. Hearkening. Hearkening means listen attentively. Give heed to his word. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 29. Psalm 29. In Psalm 29, the whole psalm, we're going to read this. Because Psalm 29 is the voice of the Lord in the storm. You know, and we all go through storms in life, do we not? And we're going to be going through more storms that we know of. I mean, right now there's, you know, physical storms, they say that's coming, you know, but there's other storms of life, spiritual storms, right? And so verse 8 was what I just want to read verse 8 first. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. So let's go back up and start with verse 1. Boy, the wind is coming up. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord God the strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. I'm going to stop there. You know, when I read that, there's other scriptures that talk about the water. You know, the voice of the water, the thundering of the water, you know. And water has so many different meanings in scripture. But here, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, all the trials and all the things that, you know, the storms of life, you know, the water, it's thundering. If you ever been on the ocean, when that water drops, the power, the sound, you know, the voice of the waters. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord, yes.
There's a fox in the hen house.
What?
The fox is this big.
Oh, excuse me. There's a fox in the hen house.
Yes, you're going to have to take care of it. Bride, I'm so sorry. This is prophetic, I'm telling you. There's a fox in the hen house. It is serious, Papa. I mean, he's a huge fox chasing the chickens. See, we've got all these chickens disappearing. And we're down to, I don't know, about 15, but I just saw it through my office window. I saw a fox. That fox was huge, chasing a chicken. They have been disappearing. We pray for Dennis right now, God. Help him to find that fox. But anyway, sorry about this, guys. I hope you're not upset. I do. Y'all, any of you that have chickens, you know what I'm talking about. But I had to come get him. Let me see what's going on here. Where's his home? He'll come back and finish, believe me. Oh, here we go. Oh, thank you. You're not upset. Thank you. Yeah, he needs to take care of that fox because, to me, that fox has been exposed. The wind scared yours today. Yeah. Yeah, we've had a bunch of chickens been killed lately. I'm telling you, now we know. Now we know a big old fox. They are smart. I was kind of get over how big that fox was. Oh, Tabitha, you could hear the chickens upset back here. See, here's this one. Let me go check on this chicken. What's wrong, darling? Oh, that's the rooster. I know, honey, y'all. You know what's terrible, y'all, is right behind the house, I think the chicken got her. I think the fox got her right behind the house. There's feathers everywhere. Oh, I'm so sad. Well, he's got his gun with him. Hopefully, he's able to find it. But I think he got our pretty chicken. Yeah, it will. It'll come after all of them. I know. He'll be sitting out there with a gun. And the thing is that, yeah, it is amazing I saw the fox because we don't know what has been trying to get these chickens. And, but I saw it right in my window chasing this chicken. Oh, so sad. Thank you guys for your patience because when he gets back, he'll finish. He will. I know it. But see, I don't know how fox kill, but the other day we saw a bunch of feathers and we couldn't find the actual body, and then we found the body, and it didn't look like it had been chewed on or nothing, but it was just dead. So we're like, I don't know. Let me look up something. It's big because it's been eating good, probably. What are the typical clues that a fox ate a, or the fox attacked? You couldn't find it?
Nope.
Did it get the chicken behind the house?
I didn't see no. Was he right behind the house?
Yes, he was. The fox right in where the garlic is.
Oh, you said that there.
No, yeah, he's back there. Dennis is going behind the house now. A fox attack on chickens typically leaves behind very few clues, often characterized by missing birds, little blood, or scattered feathers. See, this is what we've been going through. Foxes are cunning, intelligent, and usually hunt alone at dawn or dusk, which right now is dusk, often carrying their prey away to a den. Aww. Here are the typical clues. If one or more of your birds has simply vanished without a trace, it's likely to be a fox, and that's what's happened. Unlike other predators, a fox often leaves nothing behind but a few scattered feathers and tiny tufts of down. If a fox gains access to a secure coop, it may kill all or most of the chickens, but carry away only one or two at a time to eat elsewhere.
I seen him. You should have told me he was back there, not up there. He ran off with a big black chicken, so.
Oh, he got the chicken.
But, yeah.
At least now we know what's been stealing. Because this thing says that he'll take the chickens to his den.
Well, he went that way, and I ain't got time to go looking for him now.
That's all right. I told him you'll finish your sermon.
What the world?
I know it. At least now we know it's a fox. And none of them are mad at you. They all got chickens. They understand. Yeah. Are you mad that I interrupted?
No.
You want me to?
All right. All right. I don't know what I did with my glasses. I threw them somewhere. Well, here I got
okay.
I got another pair. Yeah, where was I? All right. Let's see. All right. Okay, I guess we were reading Psalm 29. Yes, Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord. Okay. Verse 8. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds of calves and discovered the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Now, I want to go back up to that verse 8 again. I want this to be kind of an encouraging word. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Let's turn to Numbers 13. Okay, Numbers 13. And if you guys remember that story, you know, when the 12 spies were sent out, okay, and sent into Canaan. And that's when, you know, in Psalm 29, when it says, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Well, Kadesh was, let's go to verse 26, okay? So they sent the spies out, right? And there was the first part of verse 13, it gives all the names of the spies, and it comes down. And the Lord sent, verse 17, the Lord sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. All right. And so they went up there and everything. And verse 19, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first grapes. So there's these spies are sent out there to spy out the land, and they were told to have good courage and go there and bring back some fruit. But, you know, we all know the story. When they come back, the report of the spies, and they told them, it was we came unto the land where, verse 27, unto the land whither thou sendest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And that's giants, the children of the giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, I want to catch this, is the verse. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. You know, the spies went on and they're saying, oh, look at the giants, oh, and all these other people, you know. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen. We need that faith of Caleb, do we not? Let's read on. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land thou which we have gone into search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now Caleb's, he's got faith, and so let's go possess it. But these other ones, they're all scared, that they were giants. Amen. I want to find this other verse here if I can. Whoops, where is it? Okay, over to Numbers 14. I had it marked here, I thought. And they wanted to go back to Egypt and all that. Numbers 14. here, verse 8. You know, after all their complaining and everything about it, and they wanted to go back to Egypt and everything. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it ere they believe him for all the signs which I have showed among them? You know, they're faithless. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make thee a greater nation and a mightier than they. You know, the Lord is, he's ticked off, is he not? You know, they're rebelling against the Lord. My notes here. You know, here, you know, in this verse 30, you know, Caleb is encouraging the Israelites to what? Immediately what? Take possession of Canaan. He's expressing his faith in God. Amen. And, you know, that they have the power to overcome obstacles despite fear. You know, over and over the Bible tells us to have no fear. So it signifies a call to obedience, trust, and it's a proactive faith over discouraging reports. And are we not getting discouraging reports all the time? You know, so we need to overcome fear, you know, in the face of daunting challenges, you might say. You know, and faith is action on God's word immediately rather than hesitating like Caleb did. Amen. And it's leadership. This highlights Caleb as a leader. You know, he you know, to calm the anxiety and calm the people down, you know, to provide direction in what they should go. Amen. So what I want to do is let's go back to Psalm 91. Let's start from the very beginning. Okay. Psalm 91. Verse 1. And I want to focus on this one word, dwelleth. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. He that dwelleth. And we're not going to go there right now, but in Psalm 17, it's a prayer for, it's a small psalm, but it's a prayer for protection against oppressors. And with all that's going on in the world, so many people are feeling this oppression, are they not? And I just want to read one verse, verse 8. Keep me as an apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. But mark that down, Psalm 17. If you feel oppressed by what's going on around you right now, you need to dig into that Psalm 17. Because it's a prayer for protect the oppressions that's going on. Amen. And then a final thought, too, is I want to ask, where's, you know, going back to this word dwelling place, what's your final dwelling place? Think about that. Your final dwelling place. Give you a minute here. Your final dwelling place. Let's just turn to Revelation, okay? Revelation. Chapter 21. I'm going to read verse 2 through 7. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Woo. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Woo. Hallelujah. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, there's that word again. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Now, Pastor, I just want to throw something in there real quick. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, the other day when we was passing out those waters, we told them, we're giving you this water, but we have the water of living water.
Amen.
Remember that?
Yep. Yes, I do. But I want to again go back here in these six verses, the word behold. You know, that word behold in scriptures acts as a crucial, frequent alert. You know, it appears in the scriptures over 1700 times, calling readers what? To stop, pay attention, deeply observe something. You know, it could be a spiritual importance, you know, and it goes beyond just a casual, you know, glance to see something, you know, but it's means to gaze with wonder, focusing intensely, recognizing a profound divine revelation, promise, or action. And that's what we have here, our dwelling place. You know, this is, you know, of great importance, I believe. You know, it's just so awesome. You know, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, this, you know, I got my Bible dictionary, and I looked up tabernacle, and there's so much about the tabernacle, as we all know. But I believe, you know, the tabernacle of God is located with men, you know, in this verse, humanity on the new earth, signifying God's permanent direct dwelling place among his redeemed people. This indicates a transition from symbolic or limited divine presence to a complete face-to-face and continuous communion in the new creation. You know, the tabernacle is not a scheduled building, you know, secluded building or anything like that, but it is with humanity associated with the New Jerusalem, the descending heaven, the new heaven. It represents the fulfillment of God's promise to live among his people. Amen. Fulfilling the prophecy of what? Emmanuel, God with us. The tabernacle implies a direct, intimate, and eternal presence, removing the need for a separate physical temple, as God himself is present. Unlike the old covenant tabernacle, you know, it's a temporary tent. These scriptures right here signifies an everlasting, perfect dwelling place. And when I was writing this down, I'm like, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I give unto you that is a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. So right now, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for that we will be thirsty, Lord. Thirsty for the fountain of water, which you give to each one of us freely, Lord. And I ask that you would just give us that encouragement, you know, our build our faith and trust in you only, Lord. Because your word says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I give every man according as his work shall be. For I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. This is Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and that may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Hallelujah. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you would give us the right to enter your gates. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. I guess that's what I have for you guys today. I hope everybody will press into the word and build your faith and trust in the Lord and his word, and not let all this stuff of this world oppress you. Amen.
Amen, sir.
You know, this, you know, Revelation, I'm just looking down here now, and it says Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Hallelujah. Amen. So, praise the Lord.
Yes. Now, this is just works out perfect with our Book of Revelation study that we've been doing, which I encourage all of you guys to be a part of, you know, on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, digging into the Book of Revelation. But the Book of Revelation is actually revealing who the Lamb is. And it is so fascinating to see where we're at right now and where God is about to take us to. I mean, just like you encouraged us about, you know, heaven and everything.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. So if you would please, Pastor, would you close us out in prayer, and then we'll open up the line and see if anybody needs prayer.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, and we thank you for Psalm 91, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that Here, let me just turn to that quickly here. Your word says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, that we thank you that as we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And yeah. Each of us will say of the Lord, he is our refuge and our fortress, our God, in him will we trust. For surely he will deliver each of us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And he shall cover each one of us with his feathers, and under his wings shall we trust. His truth shall be our shield and buckler.
Yes. So
thank you, Lord, for your word, that we will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh our tent. Amen. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you that only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because we, each one of us, we have made the Lord, which is our refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Amen.
Yes.
He will give his angels charge over each one of us to keep us in all our ways. They shall bear us up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. We shall tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under our feet. Because he hath set his love upon each one of us, therefore will he deliver us. He will set him on high, because he hath known our names. We just thank you, Lord, that you know our name, Lord. Yes. Each one of us here today, you know us, Lord. And you, and as we call upon you, Lord, it says that you will answer us. And when we're in times of trouble, you will deliver him, and you will honor us, Lord, as we honor yes. your word and trust in your word. Because it says here, with long life will I satisfy him and show him our salvation. So, Lord, I just thank you for that long life that we each will have. And we will be satisfied as you show us your salvation. And so we just thank you, Lord, for your word.
Yes, Lord.
Word, it is written. It is your will, Lord. So we thank you as we press into your word. Lord. That your word will be active, and it will just bear us up on eagle's wings, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for that protection. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 You know, I was looking at that word right there about the salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he says he's going to show us his salvation, that is every single day.
Amen.
Every single day. You know, when you look down, when you look through Psalm 91 and all the different ways that, you know, the Lord tells us how he's going to protect us and everything.
Yes.
That is his salvation. You know, yep. Every day.
Amen.
And I just want to tell all of you guys, too, I just want to thank you for being with us. Amen, Pastor.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. Be thankful you have a home. You have a roof over your head. Be thankful you have food. Be thankful you're warm. I mean, we saw it, didn't we, Pastor? All these people that had such sad stories and they didn't have a home and right. they didn't have people to talk to, or, you know, it was just in right. a barren land.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That we need to be thankful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm thankful for our fellowship because I know it's coming to a close one day. We won't be able to do this anymore, especially with all the crazy stuff that's happening right now with the war and everything. I'm just thankful that we're still able to gather, you know, and the fact that we still have a place to live right now, you know.
Yep.
We're still able to be together online. We're able to, you know, eat food in our houses right now and not be thrown in jail and, you know.
Right.
Hey, they're telling you, please go kill that fox so it won't get any more hands.
There's a little bit of light left. If I can take off now, maybe I can.
Go ahead, Papa. Go ahead.
I see him, and
because we want to make sure it don't come back to the coop. Because
well, if I can catch him off guard chewing on that hand, maybe I can get him. I got my rifle here.
All right, go ahead, Papa. You're all free to go. You're free to go. All right. Thank you guys. You know, for being understanding with us right now, because we have had a real problem. I mean, we had 30 or 40 chickens, and now they've been disappearing, and we've been seeing feathers and stuff, but we can't see the chickens. We've only seen a couple of them dead, but we know they're disappearing because we was getting 12 to 20 eggs a day, you know. So, I mean, these chickens were pumping it out, you know, because Dennis, he feeds them so good, you know. He gives them, I'll keep you updated for sure. But he, you know, mixes all their food, you know, with molasses and cayenne pepper and all that kind of stuff. So they, you know, our chickens eat very healthy, you know. So just pray for Dennis. But let me, I hear you, Tabitha. I almost didn't interrupt him because he was preaching, but that really is dangerous because I saw him right there chasing that chicken. See, Dennis has already planted about 100 garlics. And so right over there in the garden, you know, where he's got the garlic is where I saw this chicken screaming and yakking. And I looked over and that fox was so big. And I mean, he was chasing that thing good. And it went under the fence and I don't know why the chicken didn't jump on top of the fence to get away from the fox. Wonder why it didn't. I wouldn't think the fox would get it on top of the fence. But anyway, it looks like it got. I can't believe how fast that fox was. I just can't believe it. But if y'all hear a gunshot, you know why. Dennis, hopefully he'll get it. Yeah, I can't believe I saw it either, Tabitha, because just right out in the yard, I heard the noise, looked out, and there it was. You know, so. Oh, too scared to stop running. I hear you. Bless its heart. What I hate about it is those were the chickens we raised. You know, there's chickens that when they're, you know, babies, we'll take them and put them in another separate chicken coop and raise them up a little bit. Excuse me. And then we'll put them out with the big chickens, you know. You heard them all upset? Yeah. I know it. Terrible. Okay, but anyway, does anybody need prayer for anything? Thank you. Does anybody need prayer for anything? Boy, it was nice, y'all, sitting out there at that park singing What a Day That Will Be. Oh, that was so nice, I'm telling you. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. As I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Where were my dogs? I only have one dog now. All we have is Princess. We don't have any outside dogs. The promised land. So nobody needs prayer. Pray that we stay safe from the tornadoes tonight. Hey, let's all go look at that together. Let me show you that. I was wanting to do the news a little bit. Oh, he's live right now. Look at this farce. Arkansas, I guess. What's her name's not on here? Trish. Here we go. Here's me. Oh, that poor homeless man. Now, see, they're saying this is going to happen all night. What? Y'all can't see the screen? What a farce. I'm sitting here looking at it. What a farce. Y'all are just watching me look at it.
I do not live in Mayfield, Kentucky, but is Andy thinking a strong storm or tornadic watch? In Mayfield, Kentucky, you're already under a tornado watch. South and east of Decatur. By the way, Decatur, you're done. It's done today. Springfield, Illinois, Lincoln, Bloomington, the storm goes right now, but get ready to actually. Anyways, let's check out that storm in Arkansas again. My goodness, there you go. Big time. We got it. We out here in this storm right now. But yeah, you guys are under a severe thunderstorm warning in Memphis, Crittenden, DeSoto, and Shelby counties in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Get ready for the ping pong ball size hail and 60 mile per hour winds. And yes, we are concerned about the rotation here. It is possible that these storms continue to rotate more and this could produce a tornado, this little cell right here as it comes up towards Memphis. Everybody needs to get indoors and away from windows.
See, the thing is this is right where we are, right over here. Let me look on my phone and see how far it is from us, Tabitha. Because I would get it
first. We got Jordan Hall and Corey Gerken out there in Memphis showing us the latest on what's going on out here. This is a view from the stadium out there. My gosh, look at the lightning. This is a very powerful storm coming into Memphis, Tennessee right now. If you know anybody in Memphis, call them and let them know that we're watching this pretty closely. And this more than likely won't be the only storm that we deal with tonight in Memphis. We'll have several rounds. Each one will have its own chance of producing a tornado. Coming back up here to Cape Girardeau, you guys are still under a tornado warning, okay, for 21 more minutes. We've got a Tempest weather station out here showing up to 400 lightning strikes per hour on this, and look at how fast it's gone up. Storm still growing. Lightning threat is high.
When you got a sight, Ms. Brad.
Tornado threat is not minimal, that's for sure. Brad Arnold wants to talk. Oh, my gosh, he's on a good storm out here. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, man, I am near Marvel, Arkansas right now, looking west on this storm that just came through Holly Grove.
A new tornado warning has been issued.
And it looks, we have a very, very strong meso with it. I don't see anything on the ground, but an incredible inflow tail as well that extends well out of the outside of the meso. So as it's interacting with this line, its shear is going to get maximized. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we get a tornado from this one pretty soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Brad. Brad's right here with this storm coming out of Holly Grove, moving over towards Marvel. Okay. So that's where Brad's coming from. We did just get a new tornado warning out here that goes into Tennessee. Okay. So we've got a tornado warning now for Mississippi, Pemiscot, and Dyer counties. That's going to be Dyer County, Tennessee, and Lauderdale County, Tennessee. We've got places like Blytheville, Gosnell, Manila, Halls, Etowah, and Dell.
Has been issued.
Etowah and Dell are in Arkansas. The rest are in, Halls is in Tennessee. You guys got to take shelter. This is an incredibly dangerous storm, and you do not want to play around with this. Okay?
Let me see where Halls is to me.
We also just got another new tornado warning. My goodness, up here in Coles, Douglas, and Moultrie counties. Rotation is right here, south of Arthur, moving towards Arcola, Tuscola, Hinesboro, and Villa Grove. We do have 8 of you guys checking in right now from this area. We need you to take shelter. A lot of you guys are checking in on the WeatherWise app right now. There are...
This is where I'm at. This right here in Halls. See? Halls is right above Memphis. Memphis has got the storm going on. So it's only an hour and 40 minutes from me, so it's headed this way. Let's see if we can go to weather. Winter is making a comeback. Major winter storms bringing blizzard conditions and record snow this weekend. Tornado threat for the south.
And this is where our Torcon values kind of, you know, go anywhere from 2 to 5. But let's go ahead and take a look at some of the biggest bullseyes here. Whether you're
that's Montgomery, right there,
or, you know, just west of Apalachicola, kind of west of Tallahassee in the Panhandle, Florida, Valdosta, right there, kind of southwest of Georgia on I-75. So you're kind of within that vicinity of a 4 and a 5. Some of these areas that we're tracking are definitely vulnerable to additional spin-ups. This after we just had some spin up.
Okay, so. All right, well, I guess I'll get off here and get everything. Yeah, I got to get off and get our chickens and everything put up too. So I will talk to you guys. Like, you see Princess on my floor back here? Yes. Oh, you need prayer, Tamara? Yes. Hold on a second. Hold on here. I'm terribly sick and a lot of pain. The doctors don't know what's wrong, and the lack of a diagnosis is wearing me down mentally. I don't know how much more my body can stand. My circulation's very off. My nervous system is involved. Please pray. I need it. My cat, Georgie, got out for 4 days. The Lord bring him home. He's an indoor-only cat. Okay, I hear you. All right, let's all pray for tomorrow. Lord, we just pray for tomorrow right now, God, and you know all the things that she's going through, Lord, and all the suffering that she's going through. And Lord, we just pray that you heal her, Lord, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord, we pray that you give her strength, Lord, encourage her spirit right now, God. Reach down in her roots, Lord, and heal all her roots, Lord. I pray you make her every whit whole, Lord. We just speak encouragement into her, Lord, peace into her right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you would send out angels, since we're studying angels tonight, send out angels to go find her cat and to bring her cat back in Jesus' name, amen. Because I believe God can do miracles. God can do miracles and can bring your cat back. Okay. All right. And heal you. So let me get off here and get ready for this storm. I love you guys, and I will see you for sure Tuesday night. But if you want to, we have the prayer call Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning at 7:30. And then we also have the Bible study after that at 10. Okay. And that's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You're welcome. Okay, I'll see y'all later. Hey, how do y'all like my new intro? I'm going to play it again. I'm glad you guys liked it. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow.